You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You see the media, much of the mainstream media, trying to root for disaster. They're rooting for this pandemic to be worse and worse. And you saw, you know, the Washington Post self-proclaimed fact checker was cheering about a line from the State of the Union where the president said we had the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And the Washington Post was saying, well, gosh, that didn't stand up well to the test of time.
April the 7th, 2020, the words of Texas Senator Ted Cruz pointing out again how the left, the mainstream media, continues to try to use the coronavirus, COVID-19, China virus, because that's where it originated, China, as the president has said repeatedly, how they're trying to use it as a weapon, defensive and offensive, I'll point out to you a little bit later as we move through the program. And of course, remember the smart aleck remark, smart ass remark that Hillary Clinton made the other day when it became clear our COVID numbers were accelerating? And she said, well, Trump did say he'd make America number one. There's nothing funny like that. But that's the way they're playing this game right now. We're going to get into that in more detail because it is clear the Democrats would like to see, on one hand, this continue and make our economy and our nation worse. Believe me, that's really what they'd prefer because then that makes it look like Trump's inept. Wisconsin is holding a primary election today, right in the middle of all of this. Now, the Wisconsin governor tried to get it delayed, postponed. He got a lower court to agree. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and by a 5-4 decision, the high court said, no, move forward with it. You've got it on there. It's scheduled to go. We're going to break that down in more detail, and it raises the question also, which we've been over before, but I think we need to revisit, and that is, can the president delay the November election because of the coronavirus if it's still running rampant at that point? Does he have the power and authority? And if the election is delayed, is that a plus or minus benefiting which party? Here's where we stand on the numbers right now. Worldwide infected, 1.3 million. Worldwide dead, 75,000. U.S. infected, 370,000. U.S. dead, 11,000. But there are questions. There are questions as to how many are actually going to be attributed to coronavirus when they finish the autopsies. And right now, they've got so many bodies they cannot make their way through autopsies to get full verification. And, of course, again, amidst that all of this, you've got the left saying any bodies that we have, any deaths we have, are all to be laid at the feet of Donald Trump. He has blood on his hands. Former Vice President Biden has pretty much made that clear, that Trump has been wrong. And yet, he's also said Trump is correct. You're going to hear Biden debating himself a little bit later. I think you'll find it interesting. And here's the issue. How fast can we get our economy restarted once we get past this? Larry Kudlow, White House Economic Council. And I had a phone call last night from my daughter in Florida and her husband. And the question was, 5G conspiracy story, that China released this virus as a smokescreen for the health problems that might come with the next generation of phone cellular service, 5G. They were just pointing out this controversy and this conspiracy theory going around, and what have I heard about it? What's being done about it? Is what kind of validity might exist? I've got an expert coming up on that. Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired Marine, expert in biological and other warfare. This is a conspiracy theory, again, that either China released the virus that we're dealing with, this coronavirus now, to hide the fact that their 5G cellular technology was making people sick, or that the 5G technology is actually activating the virus. It's got a lot of twists and turns to it. Yes, you can say it's conspiracy, but the question is, what do we know is fact and what's fiction? And should we at least question and just instead of dispense with it and say there's nothing to it? Well, we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Hell, let your enemies know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What we're trying to do to keep folks going, okay? This is all aimed at middle class and small business, the blue collar folks. Keep them going. Give them cash. Give them liquidity. Let them get through the next bunch of weeks. You know, I've said this before, hopefully and prayerfully, maybe 4 to 8 weeks is the maximum, and we can come out on the other side with a very strong recovery.
The words of Larry Kudlow, White House Economic Council Director. That hopefully when this is all over with, we're going to come out on the other side with a robust economy. A lot of folks have looked at what's going on with our economy right now. And we've had something we've never had in this country before. Pretty much shutting down the entire nation. Just stopping just short of calling for a national quarantine to make sure nothing travels anywhere at any point. Be it cargo or passengers across state lines. We've been going through the remediation process, trying the restraint, self-isolation, social distancing, anything we can to break down some of the connections between people that might stop the spread of the coronavirus in the way that we know that it's transmitted. Transmitted person to person, in part by anything that you might have in the sense of a cough, a sneeze, and even beyond that, just simply talking, the breath coming from your lungs might carry one of the virus cells and put it into the air for someone nearby. It's been estimated 40 to 60% of us might be carrying the virus and not be aware of it. Now, what's made this difference in all the other flus? We've had other flus, numerous deaths. We've never had this kind of shutdown. Well, because as we began to see it come out of China and see how fast they were having to shut down production lines, the economy began to suffer there, then producers, businesses around the world, global economy, had to look at what China can or cannot produce for them. Will it be available? They had to take steps. We had to start looking at the same thing. And then, of course, we had to shut down flights out of China and direct Chinese immigrants to make sure we did not get more of the, in the country than we might already have. Then we had to shut down European airline connections. It's unheard of. Now, in the future, will we look back and say, did we overreact? You and I have talked about this before on this program. You remember the 2YK story, when at the time, so many believed that as we began the new century, that all of the computers would go dead. Everything would stop. Planes would fall out of the sky. They wouldn't have any controls on the computers. Everything would come to a halt. All the banking would cease. If you wanted any money, supplies, food, you better get it in advance of the stroke of midnight as we ended 1999. And when it came, I happened to be with the TV station at that time. We were on the air going live that night, January 31, counting up to midnight. Midnight, 1 second after, 2 seconds, three, and we're fine. Everything was fine. But this has been a scary situation because of the way it's been dropping people left and right. Now, the numbers coming out of New York are looking somewhat promising in the sense that we're seeing somewhat of a decline. China's insisting it's had no new deaths. That's their word. They're sticking to it. And there's a story from the director for the Centers for Disease Control that's predicting now that the death toll could be much, much, much lower because of the social distancing recommendations of how we've been basically adhering to it. By social distancing, of course, it meant shutting down some businesses, closing the doors, not inviting people into restaurants, theaters, things of this nature. And that's taking an economic toll for now, but the government has stepped forward with the push of this president to make sure that the economy can be restarted as soon as possible. And in the meantime, those who are suffering will be getting some help. But you know what the left wants? Senator Ted Cruz can sum it up very, very succinctly for us in the sense that when it comes to dealing with the virus, and I'm sad to say even the death count, but certainly when it comes to the economics and the political fallout, the left, some of them, maybe more than a few, might even be smiling gleefully.
You see the media, much of the mainstream media, trying to root for disaster. They're rooting for this pandemic to be worse and worse. And you saw, you know, the Washington Post self-proclaimed fact checker was cheering about a line from the State of the Union where the president said we had the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And the Washington Post was saying, well, gosh, that didn't stand up well to the test of time. Well, no, you moron. We had the lowest African-American and Hispanic unemployment ever recorded until a global pandemic that originated in Wuhan in China came and ended up causing absolute chaos and catastrophe. But yet the media, we should be coming together to root for America, to root for defeating this pandemic, and to root for jobs coming back. And I think too many partisan Democrats want to just use this catastrophe to attack Trump rather than come together and fight for our country.
I agree. I agree fully. And we're going to spend more time on that in the second hour. That's a shameful thing to say. You know, it's like I always taught my children in growing up. When the other team comes on the field, you don't boo the other team. You can yell for your team. And when the referees make a bad call, you know, you may or may not end up booing the refs, but you don't boo the other team. And if a player on the other side gets hurt, you don't mock him and make fun of him and enjoy it. You sit quietly and wait for that player, hopefully, to be good enough to come off the field on their own ability. There's nothing to be gained by mocking and booing others and seeing their hardship become your windfall. We are in a very difficult time, and some folks are hurting a lot more as I speak than others. Some have a vast amount of savings. They can sit on it. They'll be okay. Some have businesses that they hope their business is going to be okay, but they're rushing out to get some of that stimulus loan money and get it ready. And they don't want to lay off people. In some cases, they've had to. In some cases, they don't have an option. If the money's not coming in the door, they don't have money to pay. So they're doing what they can. And same for those employees. If they don't go to work, maybe the employer's giving them some money, some not. I remember back in 2008, again, working for a television station in St. Louis, we were all called together and we were all chopped 20%. 20%. I just noticed in a publication yesterday that a broadcast operation, boy, I want to say Gray Corporation, I could be wrong. I wish I'd paid more attention to give them credit for it. They say we're going to do exactly like we did in 2008. We did not lay off anyone. We did not cut anyone's pay. We're just going to work our way through it and go from there. And they didn't. Whereas most other companies look at a chance to cut to the bottom line and cut what they consider to be the fat. And unfortunately, as many of you know, when they start cutting the fat, they cut right down to the bone sometimes, and it hurts the company and all, and they had to bring people back. But by then, some of those who have been cut are suffering way too much. So Larry Kudlow, again, of the White House Economic Council, lays out this economic battle for us.
We're continuing to suffer through the consequences of the virus and the mitigation efforts that were absolutely necessary to deal with the virus. Regrettably, we're going to have a couple more weeks, undoubtedly, perhaps more, very bad economic numbers. We are in the midst of a contraction. Everybody knows that. Now, having said all that, I think the $350 or $370 billion in small business lending to keep payrolls going up and cover expenses. Eventually, those loan guarantees will be forgiven. And here's the last one. We are providing direct assistance to roughly 175 million people, 175 million people in the form of direct payments or unemployment insurance. And don't forget, we've been deferring taxes and deferring student loans. And don't forget, the Federal Reserve stands by with enormous lending programs and facilities financed by Treasury.
And they're doing everything. They're pulling all the stops out. Even to the extent, as I'm sure you've heard, you don't have to file your taxes April 15th. You got 90 days grace on that. Same thing for the any penalties. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said today, the president's now looking at some ways to start reopening parts of the economy, at least parts. He said the president's looking very much about how we can reopen parts of the economy, parts of the country, like New York, where obviously this is very, very concerning, but there are other parts of the country where it's not. See, that was the whole thing behind President Trump saying, I don't want to put in a national quarantine. Let the governors decide in their states what they need. And then individual governors didn't really want to. Missouri governor did not want to put in a statewide stay-at-home order because he realized that in some of the areas of Missouri, they don't need that. They don't need a stay-at-home order. And the other part of that is you count on your citizens to be smart enough and helpful enough to do their own self-isolation if necessary. But sometimes you had to have an order. So the president sent National Guard troops into New York to help out. Sent a comfort ship, one of the mercy ships in, offshore to provide bedding and taking some of the coronavirus patients as well. And again, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says, we're just going to do what we can to see what we can to start restarting. What kind of businesses, in what order could they restart? Again, to Larry Kudlow.
That is what we're trying to do to keep folks going. Okay, this is all aimed at middle class and small business, the blue collar folks. Keep them going. Give them cash. Give them liquidity. Let them get through the next bunch of weeks. You know, I've said this before, hopefully and prayerfully, maybe 4 to 8 weeks is the maximum, and we can come out on the other side with a very strong recovery.
We certainly hope we can. We certainly hope we can. In the midst of all of this, a couple of developments. One, that there was another warning in advance of all this hitting our shores that we need to be aware as to what it could do for our economy, our populace and its health, but especially the economy. And I want to get into that in the next segment. And also, I mentioned at the beginning of the monologue, there's an issue with some of these cases that are being, at this time, documented and put down as coronavirus related, when one of two things: they may not be coronavirus related, and are two, since they're not being properly checked all the way, what else are we not learning to avoid additional deaths? And of course, there's that conspiracy theory question again. Does cellular 5G have anything to do in any way with China and the virus? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up on those subjects. Please stand by.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So again, when it comes to the coronavirus, placing blame is there's plenty of time in the future to go back and see what we did right, what we did wrong, what could have been done better. And that's for everyone, including the White House and, of course, China and the World Health Organization. Top White House trade advisor Peter Navarro had been warning in stark terms, they say, about how a deadly and economically devastating outbreak could be weeks before it became a full-blown pandemic. Weeks before. He delivered the warnings to others of the White House in internal memos in January and again in Feb, saying we could see up to 2 million deaths, billions of dollars in economic damage. That's Peter Navarro, the chief White House trade advisor. His first memo, dated January 29th, addressed to the White House National Security Council. And he was using that for a case for an immediate travel ban on China. And at the time he was writing that, President Trump was taking the attitude, I don't think it's going to be that bad. Well, we didn't know. And then Navarro followed up later with it. And then because of his insistence, the president did put the travel ban in effect. So there are a lot of things about this virus we don't know that came to us late. And if you're looking to assign blame, that's not what we should be doing right now. We should be looking at what do we know, what we don't know. To that extent, they can test the dead. They can test the dead to see if you died of coronavirus. But you know how they do it? They have to use the same coronavirus test they use on the living. There was a coroner in Colorado, Douglas County, Colorado, according to a report on CNN. She was desperate for tests to see if some of the bodies brought in were because of coronavirus or something else. And she was collecting these tests, and then suddenly someone caught on to the fact and saying, we're not going to give you any more. We need the test to test the living because we're at a shortage right now. And she said, so if you die in my county, I will not know if you died of COVID-19. I will be able to tell you if you legally smoke pot. So depending on the state, coroners, medical examiners, they might suspect coronavirus, but they can't make it official. So what they end up doing is putting down probable, possible, and of course looking at the timing and the other symptoms, and then trying to get the autopsies done with the test kits. And in some cases, it's an overwhelming load. As I pointed out to you yesterday, New Orleans, they're out of morgue space. They're having to bring in refrigerated units, trailers, to put the bodies in. So if they're that far behind that, you can imagine where they are on the autopsies. And now to a conspiracy theory that's been picking up some rush, and you might say we're going to give it some air, but I think it's worth examining, and that is the G5 cellular network, the new G5, China and its involvement with it. Is there a connection between this G5 cellular system and the rays it will be putting out, the things of that nature, and coronavirus and illnesses and deaths? When we come back, I'll have an expert for you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We welcome back Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired U.S. Marines, now with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in biological warfare and other items of that nature. Lieutenant Colonel Wood, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Always a blessing to be with you. Thanks, sir.
Well, I really wanted you, and I put out a special request for you. When you probably got it from your folks, you're thinking, what is he smoking right now? Well, let me give you the background for how this story came about. I got a call from my daughter and her husband down in Florida yesterday, last night. I could ask them the same question. What are you smoking? But anyway, they're saying...
Well, it's not Colorado.
Yeah. No. But the question being, the conspiracy theory that's been accelerating, especially in Europe, about, and in Britain, 5G cell towers are being set on fire, broken down. Stories going around that the 5G towers are emitting something that's either causing the coronavirus or is activating it that China's already put in place and are being used as a smoke screen. The virus is a smoke screen for them as to what the towers are releasing. I mean, I know you've heard the stories, and your first answer is probably easy enough to debunk it, but I need to go deeper.
Yeah, so it's a variation of fears of new technologies in general. I mean, for years now, we've had people that have expressed concerns and exhibited symptoms, so they report, of being near any cell tower, you know, even current technology, 3G, or high-power transmission lines. And so there's this idea that these energy waves going into the atmosphere and penetrating your body and walls and those sorts of things have an adverse impact on human health. 5G uses very high frequencies of transmission to carry a lot of information. But high-frequency waves don't carry as far. You have to have more towers closer together, and so there is this increased density of these towers, and that has spurred, before the pandemic, concerns about the impact of 5G technology on human life. So now we've got this virus comes out of China. China's been at the forefront of advancing 5G technologies. And so the conspiracy theorists say, ah, this is actually a Chinese idea to cause pandemic and havoc in all these other countries. And even people like Bill Gates are secretly involved as a mechanism to depopulate the world and lessen the pressure on environmental sorts of issues. So it's either the 5G transmission that has somehow miraculously caused the virus, or it is causing an impact on human health, and evil governments are saying that it actually is a virus. And clearly the response would be a vaccine. You inject the vaccine into the human, but it's not to really destroy a virus, it's to inject some sort of tracking chip. So this is the nature of these conspiracies that surround new technologies, the unknowns of a new virus that are sweeping around the planet and the various actors involved.
And, you know, we look at it in light of today, we say it's conspiracy. But if you go back 100 years ago and would tell people that I can just scan your body with this thing and see your organs and so forth, that they, you can't do that. That's conspiracy. I mean, there are things we know and things we don't know, and especially long term, correct?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there is all the, that's why a lot of times it takes a while to get something new out in there, because you do want to test on adverse consequences. You know, if you remember years ago, there was a chemical that caused, abortions in women and deformities.
Thalidomide.
That's right, thalidomide. Concern about radium that was used for illuminating watch faces. And, workers back in the 30s would use little fine, paintbrushes and get a fine tip by putting it on their tongue, and then all of a sudden you had this rash of mouth cancer.
And the chlorine in the water, chlorinating water was a big concern.
Chlorine, fluoridation, was often thought to be a problem. Pictures, just had steal somebody's soul. So, these concerns about new technologies that come into the public domain have been with us forever, and I think this is just the latest manifestation.
Well, I wonder, too, though. I mean, it's even to the extent of just cell phones themselves, up until recently, I mean, there was still the story going around, and it may still be valid, that you shouldn't really hold your phone next to your head. You should have a listening device.
Well, listening device, does it cause brain cancer? And it's energy that's emanating in a particular form. We do know that forms of radiation, come to the planet from the sun, looking at solar flares. Electromagnetic pulses, can damage electrical components and those sorts of things. So, there is kind of this aspect of energy propagation, new chemicals. The pharmaceutical industry is oftentimes held up. I mean, you've got the antiviral, the anti-vaccine, portion of the population is concerned about that. So that's why we have all these studies and long-term tests and trials to ensure that the impact on human health has been minimized.
But, of course, we don't have long-term on 5G because we're just beginning with it.
Exactly. And so we know that there are these sorts of concerns, and so the testing that goes along with it is better informed because of previous experiences. Now you know what to look for. I've got an energy-directing device. What is its impact on human health? And that question might not even have come up, decades earlier.
To that extent, you get some of the elites, the Hollywood type, and others that have joined in, like Woody Harrelson. He's been a big conspiratist of everything anyway. And the general effect, I love the way the head of University of Southampton said it's just ignorance can prove dangerous. It's utter rubbish. But, the question again is, I was discussing with my daughter and her husband last night, is can you just dismiss it out of hand, or should you at least ask what do we know and what do we not know?
I think those are always valid questions, and that's why there is risk that accompanies the rapid development of a vaccine for COVID-19, right, and getting it out to the public. So on the one hand, you've got a concern about the transmission of this virus. Do we need a vaccine sooner than later? Absolutely. But when you start shortening the time from developing something, testing in a lab, going to usually it's animal trials. If it seems somewhat effective there with mice and pigs and those sorts of things, then you move to long-term human trials and you're talking the development of a new vaccine that takes years. Well, people aren't willing to wait that. So we are shortening that time frame. That does come with some risk. And so I think these are valid questions to be asking, but not in the way that the conspiracy theorists are really causing some problems and to the extent of actually damaging property. So setting fire on these cell phone towers, these 5G towers in Britain, for example, if your emergency services are using those sorts of things, right, now you have destroyed a communications capability that actually harms positively responding to human health problems.
Well, I have to admit, I was so clueless when they were asking me about 5G. I was thinking about G5 summit is what I thought, you know, between India, Mexico, Pakistan, China, and South Africa. Yeah. And then I realized what they're talking about. But you're listening to Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired Marines with the Heritage Foundation. You have also served with the U.S. Naval War College, obviously. Now, inside things like that, to the extent you can talk about.
Sure.
We've got our military and scientists doing all sorts of things that we, the public, do not know and evaluating things of all nature. No doubt China obviously does the same thing. And so that just adds, I think, again, possibilities that the coronavirus was either unleashed on purpose to mask the fact that the G5 signal was the issue or that the G5 is triggered. I mean, you can go in any direction.
Yeah, you can. You can cherry pick little bits of data or events and then string them together into this improbable sequence, you know, of connectedness, right? But just because you have something that's occurring doesn't mean that those two events or three events are actually related. So the world of biological warfare is real. People have tried to weaponize various pathogens and actually genetically engineering them, those sorts of things. But they're very fragile. They don't work well. Subject to climatic changes and heat and weather and wind and all that stuff. And you can't guarantee that if you use a pathogen against your enemy that it doesn't come back and get you as well, right? So there are all these problems. But because we're aware of those sorts of things, and you put U.S. forces into an environment where maybe they catch malaria or Ebola or something like that, we have laboratories. One is in Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they do experimentation and testing and analysis of bacteria and viruses and all that stuff so that you know what kind of remediation, you know, how do you develop a defense against those sorts of things. So the military, the intelligence community is aware of that. It takes steps to keep our public and our, you know, troops safe and healthy. And there are international protocols that forbid. Of course, if you're an evil dictator, you're not adhering to law anyway.
Right.
But yeah, everybody understands the danger, and we're aware of it as a country, and take steps to develop countermeasures.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to discuss this, and not thinking I was so off the wall to even raise the issue with you, because I do think the more we begin to see 5G expand, and as you say, towers almost every other corner, it's going to increase the concern again. Dakota, as always, we appreciate it. Like to have you back again in the future, sir.
Anytime we can help. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Dakota Wood, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired U.S. Marines, 20 years of Marines, now with the Heritage Foundation. As I pointed out also with his work with the U.S. Naval War College, he's aware of a lot of stuff in sight and behind the scenes that probably not at all at liberty to discuss, but we got a better handle on that, and I appreciate it. The thought coming, the question coming out of my daughter and her husband down in Florida to raise that question. I have to admit, I had not looked at prior to that. So, the big news that broke as we began this hour is they're saying that we might have fewer deaths from coronavirus. Let's take a closer look at that. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Well.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, once again, the head of the CDC is stating that the death count in the U.S. because of coronavirus might be, quote, much, much, much lower than the models projected. The models projected have gone as high as 1 million to 2 million infected, death count 100,000 to 240,000. Now, if this is true that the numbers would be lower, why? Well, they're suggesting already, giving credit to this whole idea of self-isolation, social distancing, closing a lot of businesses up where you'd have people gathering on a constant basis, trying to limit the number of people in any one spot, using masks, hand washing, all the remedial efforts that have been stated. Now, yesterday I had on the air with us, if you recall, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, former U.S. Congressman John Lebutier out of New York. He lives 20 miles from downtown Manhattan. And he says, I'm pretty well isolated here in my little area. He said, but I look at Manhattan, the subways are still running. He said, there's no way you can have minimum 6 foot distance between you and anyone on the subway. I guess unless you're riding in the early morning hours before anyone else starts moving. So it hasn't been total effective to getting folks to back down and stay home because some of them are still needed. Some of them might be first responders trying to get to their job, maybe hospital employees, things of that nature. And they're going to be needed. And subway is their transportation. But if we're seeing a decline, and if we will see some kind of plateau, that then they say, then we might begin to see the curve go down, then that's what we're hoping to see. And the sooner the better. And, of course, we have a lot of things in this nation on hold. America's pastime, baseball. The MLB has come up with what it says might be an idea for playing games. The Major League Baseball making it clear it does not have any official decision and when it can restart the 2020 season. As you know, they delayed the start of opening day and canceled spring training once all this began to happen. Here's what they're considering. I don't know how you're going to like it, but here's what they're thinking. They will host all of the games at one site. What? They're talking about holding all of them in Arizona because they have about 10 different spring training ballparks in Arizona, all within 50 miles of each other. But they're still not going to play before fans, just getting the players to those sites and them playing. Start compiling the statistics. I don't know. I mean, but, of course, you get to see it on video, television, if that would help you. Maybe it would. Maybe it'd be a solace for some until we could get to the next level. But that's just one of the things we've had at this point on hold in the country. And think about the XFL. It was just getting started, and it was having apparently a pretty good impact in some markets. It was looking pretty good. Suddenly, capped in the knees. And other folks who had just maybe opened a business, had just opened maybe a restaurant, so excited, and suddenly having to shut the door before they can really open the door. Or someone who just started a job and they were so anxious, they had a new job and they were going to be able to get more money for themselves and their family, a new car, something of that nature, gone. And the car salesman who was looking forward to selling the car, nothing happening right now. Those trying to sell and move homes, nothing happening. Some construction projects shut down. This impact on this national economy is frightening. But, if we continue to work together, we'll get through it faster. And while I was hoping at some point we'd get control of the deficit, that's the least of the worries right now. The biggest concern right now is helping America recover. Our economy was rocking. It has not gone south because of a 2008 incident like we saw previously. This is something totally out of our control, which means we can restart faster. That would be the hope. But members of the left and mainstream media continue to want to hope that this will hurt Donald Trump. To hurt Donald Trump at this point is to hurt America, to hurt you. I would think, I would like to think, members of the left would realize this does us no good to want something like that to happen because it hurts all of us. But for some, the end would justify the means. Wisconsin voting is underway today. They wanted to move primaries. They were not allowed to do it. Other states have. Who benefits by having one or not having one? And can the president move the November election because of the virus if it continues to circulate among the populace as we get closer to November? And, again, who benefits, who gets hurt? We got a lot to cover, and it's all coming up in the second hour. We will, of course, as always, begin the top of the hour with news and commentary, and I stress that. News and commentary is not your old news. In this case, I say what I want when I want.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.